Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, it's so good to see you, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds. I'm one of the pastors here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. It's so great to have you with us this Sunday morning. I hope that you've been able to enjoy your week. We certainly have enjoyed our week here at the church. It's been a fun week. In case you missed it on the way in, there are a couple of food trucks outside of our church this week because the theme of Vacation Bible School was a food truck party. And so all throughout the church, there were food trucks everywhere. And at the end of the week, we had a wonderful visit from the Kona Ice Truck. You can see pictures of Vacation Bible School online if you're interested in what the church looked like transformed into VBS. We are so grateful for all of you who volunteered your time to be a part of this community of faith. But as we gather this morning, you might be pushed a little bit to move your hands, to shake your hips, to smile, to enjoy the music a little bit. It's probably going to be a bit upbeat from what, you know, we are typically accustomed to at the 9:30 service, but I hope that in worshiping together this morning, you just get a taste of the joy that was in the sanctuary when you heard kids singing and praising God, raising their hands, dancing like quails, talking about manna falling from the sky. So in a moment, we'll be dancing together. And you can dance as you're able. You can dance like nobody's watching. It'll be fun. We'll gather together and we will celebrate in God's name. As we gather together this morning, I just want to encourage you to take a moment to fill out your connection card. Hopefully you were handed that on your way in this morning. It's got a wonderful list of ministry opportunities that you can sign up for, or let us know that you're interested in being a part of them. In addition to that, just filling it out allows us to have record of your attendance to help us know that you are here with us this morning. In addition to that, we would be honored if you would take a moment to fill out those yellow prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. We would be humbled to be able to pray alongside you for any concerns or issues that might be going on in your life or in the life of anybody else that you might care deeply about. This morning, some of the music is going to be led by our 11 o'clock praise team and by our lead chef, Jennifer Bond. So she's here. We're grateful to have her as well. I am a little bit disappointed, Gene, that there's no DJ Cupcake here anymore. So we'll have to make do without DJ Cupcake. But as we gather here, we're continuing a sermon series about the parables of Jesus. And so today we'll be continuing the stories that Jesus taught. And we hope that something that we pray or say or sing together this morning would inspire you in your faith and allow you to take one step forward in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And with that, I want to encourage you to join us in song. If your hips start shaking, nobody will judge you. You know, I have two left feet, but I will try to dance along and do the motions as well. We encourage you to sing unto the Lord as we worship together this day. Amen.
This past week, I was known as Top Chef Jennifer, and we were engaged in a food truck party. And one of the fun ways that we started out our sessions was doing a little cheer. And so those of you that were part of the food truck party, you'll remember what to do. Those of you that are new to the food truck party that we're going to have this morning, I'm going to say, when I say food truck, you say party. And I'll say food truck.
Party.
Food truck.
Party.
And then we're going to go on a roll with God. So I'm going to start that off. And then after we do that, I'm going to welcome all of the leaders, which we called hosts, and all of the children to come up on stage and engage in the dancing and the fun that we had this week. So let's get it started. When I say food truck, you say
party.
Food truck.
Party.
Food truck.
Party.
On a roll with God. Good job. Now come on up. If you were a host, volunteer, and a child, which we called chefs, come on up and dance to our theme song, Food Truck Party. And the rest of you, yes, we will want to see those hips shaking and those hands clapping and just engaging in the fun of music.
Come on, everybody. There's something that you need to see. A whole new way of living that comes by faith when you believe. When you see it rolling into your neighborhood, come taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a food truck party. This is a food truck party. Come on, everybody. There's something that you need. Yeah, we're living on the Word of God. When you see it rolling into your neighborhood, come taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a food truck party. This is a food truck party. This is a food truck party. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a food truck party.
We're just going to start with an opening prayer, okay? Dear Lord, I just thank you so much that you are good and gracious and loving, and you're the ultimate host that provides our needs, feeds us when we're hungry, and feeds our souls when we're hungry for love and peace in our hearts. And I just thank you for bringing so many children here this week. I thank you for the opportunity to share your love and grace with them. And we thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
La 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 la. Breakfast, same as you, 'cause every night it's raining.
band was also at VBS. We had an amazing time. It was, I mean, we all had a really surprisingly good time. Along with playing the VBS songs, we also did one of the songs that we do regularly at the 11 o'clock service. This is a beautiful one. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wonderful, so wonderful,
wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul.
Powerful,
powerful, so powerful, your glory fills the sky, your mighty works displayed for all to see, the beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing, how marvelous, how wonderful you are, beautiful one night. My soul must sing.
Let's do that again.
Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing.
You open my eyes, you open my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Let's say all that again.
You open my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing.
One more.
Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Sunday school is being held downstairs, so any of the young people that would like to go to Sunday school, please head down there right now. Scripture lesson this morning is from Luke 14, 15 to 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.' the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who invites us to this heavenly banquet. Amen. Well, I remember as a kid how fun it was to get the mail. And I have to admit that's changed a little bit in adulthood because the things that usually come in the mail for adults are a little bit different than the things that come in the mail for kids. These days, when you go running to the mailbox, if you still do such a thing, you usually go and you pull out the mail and you're like, oh, Bill. That's no fun. But when I was a kid, I remember if something was addressed to me, it meant something was going to be happening that was exciting. Do you remember what that felt like when you went to the mail and you opened it up and you pulled out the piece of paper and looked and you saw, oh my goodness, I'm invited to somebody's birthday party, or I'm invited to a wedding, or I'm invited to some sort of gathering at somebody's house. Do you remember what it feels like to be invited? That feeling of like, when is it? When do I get to go somewhere? When do I get to eat cake? When do I get to eat pizza? When do I get to sleep over at a friend's house? When do I get to have some fun? You all remember what it's like to be invited to something? It's fun these days to get a phone call, to get invited to perhaps go to a baseball game or to go over to experience a birthday party of a friend's child or something like that. But in this particular story, the inviter is portrayed as God, inviting us to a heavenly banquet, to a feast, to a gathering where there's going to be so much food. And you know what's remarkable about this particular story is it actually sort of triggered me a little bit, I'll confess, because it's a story about somebody inviting people to come to the table, and there are all these excuses about why the people who were invited don't want to come. If any of you have ever served meals to 4 and 6-year-olds in particular, this story might trigger you as well. When you are like, hey guys, dinner is ready, and instead of like thump, 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 you know, and then like the sound of sitting down in chairs, it's like, I don't want to eat. Anybody heard that before? What's for dinner? I don't like that. Maybe you've heard that refrain before, but I imagine in this particular story, Jesus is feeling a wide range of emotions as he tells this story. It might be a moment when we get into a small glimpse into Jesus's personality that, frankly, he's a little bit tired of talking to religious people about inviting and welcoming everybody to the feast of God and all of them coming up with every last reason under the sun as to why they don't want to show up or they don't want to include other people at the feast that God has prepared. I mean, after all, it's really difficult when you throw a party and no one shows up. All of the energy that goes into preparing food, all of the dishes that you do, sweeping underneath rugs and perhaps wiping down baseboards that don't get cared for on a weekly basis. Maybe you clear out cobwebs from windowsills and you prepare everything for your guests to come, and then you start waiting. Or if you're like me, you're frantically preparing in the last 30 seconds before people arrive. But then the doorbell doesn't ring. And you're standing there wondering if anybody will accept the invitation that you've sent out to people. I have to admit, in my ministry, I've been a part of starting 3 brand new worship services over the course of the time that I've been a pastor, and a couple more that I wasn't responsible for, but I was just a part of. And at every single one that I've ever been a part of, the very first time you hold an event, hoping that somebody will come, you're like, I have this dream. I feel like God is calling me to plant this new worship service, this new church, whatever. Like, I just pray one person comes. And a couple of times over the course of my ministry, a couple of times at restaurants, we've held like get-to-know-you events. And I remember sitting in a restaurant in Detroit when I was planting a new service in the city of Detroit. And I, you know, had extended invitations to people, created a Facebook event. And I remember sitting there, and at 6 o'clock, with the time that the event was supposed to start, I was alone at a table with a reservation for about 15 people. And then 6:05 ran around. Nobody. 6:10, nobody. Finally, at 6:15, one person showed up, and it was funny. They weren't even invited, quite frankly. They didn't receive an invitation, but they just showed up and saw me sitting there alone at the table, and they were like, you know, because I had signage out front, you know, like free food, and I was like, how did you hear about it? And they're just like, well, the sign out in front said free food, and got to know them and connected with them. But I remember that feeling of sitting there at the table just totally feeling rejected. And I don't know about you, but part of inviting people is this vulnerability where you sort of walk out onto a bridge and you put yourself out there. You're like, I don't know if I'm cool enough or if I've made a big enough impression, or I don't know if I've been lavish enough in my invitation. I don't know if people will make the effort or the time to show up when I invite them to this feast. And I wonder how many times in the experience of God has God thrown a party and just been waiting there at 6 o'clock and no one's showing up. And I love this parable because there's all kinds of reasons that we don't show up to God's feast. I mean, the first person was just like, I just bought a new house. I've got all kinds of things to do to get it ready. I need to care for it. I'm wealthy enough to buy a house, and so I've got all these tasks and responsibilities to keep up with the house. I have to dust the cobwebs. I have to cut the grass. I have to care for my property. So when God holds a feast, I'm just too busy at the end of the day to care for coming to the invitation that was extended to me. The second person was like, I just bought some livestock. I have other things that are taking up my time. Maybe it's not a matter of having a new property, but I just have tasks. I have responsibilities that prevent me from showing up to the feast. And then I love the third person who's like, I just got married. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I've got to care for my partner. I'm too busy. And how often is it that at times our relationships get in the way of showing up for the party that God has invited us to? At the end of the day, we all have reasons and rationalizations, and they all make sense at the time. But I do wonder how often in God's experience, God says there's a feast and everybody's welcome, and then God just sits there at the table like, I'll be ready when you are. I'm not hungry. I don't like what you cooked. I want macaroni and cheese. God bless us. You all know that so often it's so much easier to make rationalizations and excuses for why we don't show up to the dinner. But in the end of our lives, you know, I think we would all be better off if we accepted the invitation. What I love about this particular story is that the parable ends after nobody shows up to the feast with the master or God saying, okay, all right, that's all right. If you all aren't hungry, if you all don't want to come to the feast, if you all don't want to eat, I'll tell you what. Go out into the streets and find the hungry and the poor and the rejected and the marginalized, and we'll fill this table with people who want to be here. I don't know about you, but one of the things that that passage reminds me of is the fact that at the end of the day, God is going out of God's way to find people who are hungry, to find people who are marginalized, to find people who, for the most part, when you're sitting down to make your invitation list, who do I want at my party? If you've been left off the invitation list in your life, then you're probably one of the people that God goes out of God's way to make sure that you know that you're invited to be welcomed at the table of God. In the ancient world, it was so common to think, you know, if things are going well in my life, if I'm prospering, if I'm making money, if I'm, you know, opulently wealthy, then God must be on my side. And the reverse was also true. If I'm dealing with sickness and if I'm dealing with famine and if I haven't been invited to somebody's birthday party for years and years and years, then clearly God is trying to teach me something. But what I love about this story and so many of the parables in the gospel is routinely Jesus comes out and shows up and says, actually, the reverse is true. The proud will be brought lowly, and those who are marginalized and oppressed and who have been left off the invitation list, those who have been forgotten and those who are pushed to the edges of society are the very ones that Jesus says, actually, go out into the world and find those kinds of people and welcome them to the table. And that's one of the things that I've loved about Jesus from the time I first started reading the parables in the Gospels. This is a guy whose invitation list is scandalous. Jesus didn't invite the popular people to the table. And in fact, there are some scholars that suggest that Jesus was set up. Right before this story, Jesus is asked to heal on the Sabbath, which in the ancient world was a big no-no. He was told, you're not supposed to do that. It's work. You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day were just setting him up, they say, so that he would break the religious code. And why did Jesus do that? It was Jesus' priority throughout his entire ministry to make sure that folks know that if you are struggling, if you are suffering, if you are experiencing hardship, it is precisely in those moments that God's invitation shows up in the mail. And my encouragement to all of us is to find ways to accept the invitation. At the end of the day, I think God is always sort of standing at the edge of the driveway. And I think God's table is a lot like my grandma's. It was one of those tables that was like made in the early 1900s. One of those tables that, like, when you show up at first, it looks like there's just four seats at the table. You know what I'm talking about? But then all of a sudden, if you pull the right lever and pull it apart, then you could add another leaf. And then if you wanted to add another leaf, then you could have eight people at the table. And then there was another leaf, and suddenly you could put 10 people at the table. And suddenly people are like running around to grab chairs because there isn't enough chairs in the dining room. And next thing you know, you just add another card table to the end of the table, and it was bigger. And then you add another card table, and then there was a kids' table, which didn't mean that they were rejected. We were just a little bit loud and quick to spill milk on the floor. But there was enough space at my grandma's house for everyone. So my encouragement to you is two things. It's to think about the last time that you felt invited, and to just know this. In a couple of moments, we'll be celebrating communion. And to me, you know, it's sort of easy to just sort of come forward and receive the body of Christ and God's love poured out for you, but at least at some level, I believe that this is a continuation of this particular parable where Jesus is standing at the edge of the driveway saying, you are welcome to eat at the feast of God's table. You are personally invited by name, and all you have to do is say yes. And the second piece is this. I wonder if there are folks who are hungry, who are marginalized, who don't feel like they would ever be welcome to come in to sit and eat dinner at the table of God. And I wonder whether or not they don't have an address to receive an invitation in the first place. I wonder if maybe they lack internet access and they can't necessarily see events that are posted to Facebook with invitations being sent out in a modern way. And I wonder if God might be calling us, God's servants, to go out and invite everybody to the food truck party. I mean, at the end of the week, it was so incredible to see over 100 kids, to see all of these adults and youth helping the kids remember this story that when you are hungry, God is there to feed you. We've had a great week of Vacation Bible School, and if you volunteered, if you gave a little bit of your time in the last week to help with the kids, I can't thank you enough. I know everybody has new farms that they bought or livestock to take care of, or maybe some of y'all just got married and you've got every reason under the sun to say no. But I want to encourage you to say yes, because your life will never be the same if you accept God's invitation to the feast. It will change your life forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing next, so I just...
Last song, prayer.
Susan's got a fun song for us.
So, you know, whenever I read this scripture reading, I think of this song. And I love it when there's somebody writes a great song based on a scripture reading, because it just brings it home for me. So if you know the song, sing along. If you don't know it, catch on halfway through. It's really kind of fun. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. A certain man held a feast on his fine estate in the town. He laid a festive table and he wore a wedding gown. He sent invitations to his neighbors far and wide, but when the meal was ready, each of them replied, I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. The master rose up in anger, called his servant by name, said, go into the town, fetch the blind and the lame, fetch the peasant and the pauper, for this I have willed. My banquet must seem crowded, and my table must be filled. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. When all the poor had assembled, there was still room to spare. So the master demanded, go search everywhere, to the highways and the byways, and force them to come in. My table must be filled before the banquet can begin. I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come. Now God has written a lesson for the rest of mankind. If we're slow in responding, he may leave us behind. He's preparing a banquet for that great and glorious day. When the Lord and Master calls us, be certain not to say, I cannot come to the banquet, don't trouble me now. I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow. I have fields and commitments that cost a pretty sum. Pray hold me excused, I cannot come.
Into my mind when I was reading the scripture too, and I looked it up on YouTube to remember the words. So, mission completed. I've prayed that song, we've done that song. We're now going to enter a time of prayer. So if you would adopt a prayer posture associated with your prayer practice. And let's think about the two women receiving the prayer quilts today and hold the names of MJ and Danielle so that they are lifted up and their quilts will bring them comfort and be a physical reminder of our love and our prayers and God's healing mercy. As you leave this space, do stop at the table and tie a knot and say a prayer and sign their card. Let's pray. Dear Master and Creator God, you have called us to you, and we respond in many ways. Some days we respond with gladness and enthusiasm. We say yes and show up with energy and determination to the tasks at hand. We prepare for guests, decorate and lay out our finest snacks. We invite the community and celebrate with a room full of singing children. We thank you and praise you for these opportunities to share your love, your message, and promises with others. However, there are also times when you call us and we turn away. We hide or we close our ears. And yet you continue to call us, knowing what is best for us and how to heal the community. Help us to respond with enthusiasm, or at least with the strength that only comes from you. When your children are suffering, hungry, and naked, help us to respond with compassion. When your children are cast out and denied entry simply because they look, act, or talk differently, help us to respond as you have shown us, with sacrificial love. When your children are sick or sad or angry or in grief, we ask you to bless them with your overwhelming peace and healing, and help us to respond as your hands and feet in a broken world. We seek your blessings on our siblings as they recover from incredible floods and devastation nearby in Kentucky, far away in Uganda, and even miners in Mexico. Cast your healing on all those areas. We seek your blessings and healing on our siblings suffering from the outbreak of diseases and illnesses, as well as those who are caring for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, we seek your blessings and continued compassion on our siblings in Ukraine and all that they are enduring and overcoming. Show us how to respond to our family in Christ, both near and far. Now, in this moment of silent prayer and reflection, we offer up the praise, thanksgiving, and requests on our hearts. Now let us join together, praying with those on our right and on our left, and with everyone online, lifting up the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So we have this privilege and this opportunity to gather around a banquet that only Jesus can provide. And I am always moved by the fact that this is a sacred practice of our church that has been taking place for nearly 2,000 years now. People from all corners of the globe, from all races and ethnicities, all different cultures and backgrounds, and there are people who use rice patties and others who use loaves of bread and others who use unleavened bread. But that's quite a grandma's table. The millions of people over the course of time who have been welcomed and invited and have chosen to come to this holy banquet. And so we gather around these elements, remembering Jesus, the great inviter, the one who welcomes everybody to the feast. And we give thanks that this table has been prepared for us. And so we say, Come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements of bread and cup into something extraordinary. Make them be for us the body of Christ and his blood poured out for all of us for the forgiveness of sins. And transform us, recreate us, mold us, shape us, humble us, transform us into the image and the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might be, for the whole world, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Sanctify us. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took a loaf of bread, and he gave thanks for it. and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup and he said, "This is my blood which has been poured out for you. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so we gather around this heavenly banquet, not as perfect people, not as people who have a perfect attendance record at the banquets that we've been invited to, not as people who say yes every time, but as people who fall short, who forget, who show up late, who make mistakes along the way, who have harmed one another, who have argued over who the greatest disciple is, and as people who have been forgiven over and over and over and over again. God's grace is sufficient for all of us. And so we gather at this heavenly banquet, receiving the wonderful meal that Jesus has invited us to and has prepared for us. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at this heavenly banquet? In a moment, our ushers will be inviting folks to come forward by the radio aisles, and then we'll invite you to return by the center aisles. There will be some folks up here serving communion. I will have the gluten-free elements up here to serve as well. All has been made ready. Would you please come and feast at this heavenly banquet? Amen. When you almost run out of food. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And this is God's love poured out for all of us. Amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this great gift of communion and for the reminder that we're all welcome at the feast of God. We pray that this food would strengthen and nourish our bodies, restore our souls, and give us the strength to face the challenges of our time. We pray that you would use us as instruments of your peace and that you would allow us to be a part of the good work that you're doing in our world. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are so many ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And in a moment, our ushers will be moving through the worship space to allow us to help serve us as we give of the abundance that God has given to each and every one of us. And we're grateful for all of the support that has come in for a variety of wonderful ministries taking place in our church. We're grateful for the support that's come in over the last year for the Samaritan Counseling Center, and we're thankful for all of the work that's gone into that. A couple of weeks ago, there were about, 7, 8, 9, 10 of us that were walked in a race that started at Brighton High School, and together we've raised nearly $8,000, which will provide just a number of counseling sessions to folks in our community who are struggling with a variety of mental health illnesses. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be driving down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit with nearly $40,000 worth of support for a tiny home in the city of Detroit. And I always find myself thinking, you know, if like God snapped God's fingers, you know, and the church disappeared, boom, gone from the world, who would miss us? Who would wish that we were there, you know? And when I think about somebody showing up, probably nervous for the very first time into a counseling room, and they're about to spill their life story out to a counselor, but they don't have health insurance, so they can't go there affordably. And I know that person probably would miss us a little bit. And then I think about that feeling of opening up a home that in 7 years I could own, maybe for the very first time, to have land and a house to sleep in, after maybe years of sleeping under the bridge, and I think, you know, that's pretty good. And so when the ushers come forward, we hope that you'll support the ministries that our church supports. Thanks be to God for the incredible gift of generosity. Amen.
We thank you for the children and the volunteers who participated in Vacation Bible School this past week. We celebrate the opportunity to lift up your name in our community. Guide us to solutions to issues of food insecurity and help us to be generous in giving our time and our money to help others who both are hungry for food and for you. In your name we pray, amen.
It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They
Thank you so much, Susan, for leading us in song. I want to invite you guys just to take a seat for a moment. We've got a couple of longer announcements. We want to share with you some exciting things as you head out the door. First of all, I want to invite forward Ramon Ruiz, who's our chair of the Staff Parish Relations Committee here at the church, and he's got a couple of special announcements that I know we're all going to be excited to hear. Thank you so much, Ramon.
No problem. On behalf of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, I'd like to share some exciting news with our church. After discussions at the SPRC Finance Committee and at the Ad Board of our church, we are pleased to announce that we have added a Whitmore Lake campus worship leader and associate pastor to our clergy team. Camelia Midcat will be the Whitmore Lake worship leader and is starting on August 14th. Camelia is a genuine and versatile soprano. She has performed in multiple operas and musicals with her talents. With the BYU Chamber Orchestra, she was a soloist in Vaughn Williams' Serenade to the Music. She has had the privilege of singing with the Utah Vocal Arts Academy in Salt Lake City, Chicago Summer Opera, and has performed in Michigan and New York. In 2019, she graduated from a Birmingham Young University with a bachelor's degree of music degree in voice performance. She served in a mission in Brazil from 2015 to 2017 and is passionate about serving God. Camila has her own voice studio where she teaches many bright new singers here in Brighton, Michigan. Reverend Lynn Hasley, retired ordained elder, will be a part-time pastor starting September 6th. Pastor Lynn is excited to be part of the staff of Brighton First and to have the opportunity to work with people who are new to our church, as well as people who have been a part of the congregation for many years. After retiring as a lead pastor of Franklin Community Church, Lynn served as a pastor of discipleship and congregational care at Nardine Park United Methodist Church in Farmington Hills. Previously, she served at East Point, Emmanuel UMC in Farmington Hills, Orchard UMC, and Birmingham First UMC, where she was a pastor for congregational care. Lynn is a second career pastor, having previously worked for 11 years as a hospital administrator, spending some years as a teacher, and foster grandparent program director. In addition to her Master's of Divinity degree, she also holds a master's degree in education from Oakland University and in hospital administration from the University of Michigan. Camille and Pastor Lynn will help our whole church with our mission to know, love, and serve God. On behalf of the SPRC, take joy in this news and have a blessed Sunday.
So as Ramon mentioned, we're really excited about these additions to our team and can't wait to see their gifts blossom and flourish here in our congregation. In addition to that, I'd like to invite forward Joanne. There's Joanne. And Joanne has another special announcement about our church-wide photo directory. Please welcome Joanne.
Hello, my name is Joanne Schmidt, and I'm helping to facilitate the new photo directory. We haven't had one in years. And the most important thing we need for this directory is you. So we need you to sign up. Our mission is to know God, love God, and serve God. But in the process, we need to know each other and love each other and serve each other. And this is a means to help us know each other, to have a photo directory. There's a flyer in the back, looks like this, if you haven't seen it before. It tells you that you can sign up online, and the code is down here at the bottom. If you're not a computer person, you can call the office, and they can sign you up. You can email me or call me, and I can sign you up too. And there is a link on the FUMC Brighton webpage as well. The church earns extra points for directories for everyone that signs up, so bring your friends. They do not need to be in the directory. They can be your neighbors, your kids. Also, interestingly enough, pets are welcome, as long as they're well-behaved. This is a low-pressure event. You will not be pressured to buy photos at the session. You'll pick out your favorite pose, and one free 8x10 will be sent to your home, and then the directory will be picked up also free at church after it's all put together. There are team members working on this with me. Liz Hoover was in the back before the service, and one of us will be there after to sign you up if you'd like to do that today. There are three dates in August, a week from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 15th, 16th, 17th, here at Brighton, and three dates in September, also the 15th, 16th, 17th. They're a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that Thursday, just be careful when you sign up, that Thursday is at Whitmore Lake, and the other two days are here. If for some reason you can't make either of those dates, there are other options, so please just call me or call the office and we'll figure something out. But please sign up. We need you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Joanne, so much for spearheading this effort. And just like she said, it's a great way for us to know each other and to be known here in the congregation. It does sound a little bit like, you know, the old adage to vote early and vote often when it comes to like signing up your friends and family. But in all seriousness, we really hope that you'll be a part of this church photo directory. The last thing I want to share with you is on August 21st, in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from this Sunday, there's an afternoon concert that's going to be taking place outside of Whitmore Lake. It'll be an afternoon of like stories and music. And so if you're interested in coming to an outdoor concert, we'd love to have you join us. A friend of mine, Dr. Tu Francis, who's a professor at Oakland University, is going to be leading us in song. There's his photograph. He plays the guitar. He's like one of those guys, like if you remember Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where the guy's like walking around, he's got the little, you know, drum in the back, and he's like singing songs and all that kind of stuff. That's Toof. He can play like 25 different instruments, and somehow, through technology, gets them all going at the same time. He's a wonderful storyteller, a friend of mine, so we hope that you'll come and join us for a wonderful afternoon on the lakeshore. As you go out into the world, I pray that you would be invited and accept invitations, and that you would invite other people to be a part of the great banquet of God. As you go out from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.